Alrighty, good morning, church. It's that time for us to find our seats and get ready to focus up as we have a few announcements. The normal announcement guy, he's taking a little break because he's going to be giving us a word of knowledge that he received from the Lord this weekend. And we got a whole bunch of activities going on, so check our website for all the most recent times for all of our awesome programs that we're doing. And then the biggest announcement that we have is we are going back inside. So, Wayne, you want to come on up and tell us a little bit about what to expect with going back inside?
Thank you, Daniel. Yes, starting next Sunday, November 14th, we'll be heading back inside as the weather gets colder, and hopefully we'll have rain and stuff that will make meeting out here less less practical to do. It's going to be Bird Park in a building is kind of the theme that we're going for. So we're not going directly back to normal. We are going to be continuing to partner with the community church and with Singing Waters. And so both in spirit and in practice, there'll be some differences. And so some changes in the church setup, some transitions. We'll continue to have Pastor Ron and Pastor Enrique sharing the word with us. And so just encourage you to start spreading the word for next Sunday. We'll be back inside, and we'll be spending the month of November, each Sunday in November, back inside. And so spread the word, look online for details. And then there will just be some changes from normal, a little different entrance. We'll have people out front telling you how to get into church. We will be wearing masks inside. Singing will be allowed, and so we'll be singing, but we're going to be following the county guidelines and having our masks. And then if you're not with your normal circle of friends, we'll just be asking you to be having some social distance there. But it'll be a chance for us to be back inside, to be celebrating together. And it's kind of an experiment. We've enjoyed this almost 2 years outside, and it'll be great to be back indoors and be worshiping God in that way. So 9:30. Next Sunday, back inside. And then John wants to share about our celebration service as we get ready for Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Wayne. And we just had our celebration service last Sunday, and we have a few weeks until our next one, but I wanted to start building anticipation towards that and your help in preparation towards that. It'll be right after Thanksgiving, and I just think it'd be a great time to share what we're thankful for. You know, when you sit around a family table at Thanksgiving, and sometimes you might say, what are you thankful for? Let's share what we're thankful for before we maybe partake in a meal together. I want to do that with the church family together in a worship environment at the church. We'll be still inside there. That'll be the last Sunday. And so we'll have some open mics available. We'll be doing some worship, and there'll be opportunities to share something you're thankful for, either in your individual life, maybe something you're thankful for in the church family, you know, that you get to participate in. And I just think for us to be able to hear that, it's just really going to be giving praise and honor to God of what he's doing in our midst. And it helps us be aware more of what God's doing in our midst. Sometimes we don't know all that's going on with each other. And the other thing I want to encourage for those that are especially online watching, if you're not going to be here on that last Sunday, able to attend that service, any time from right now all the way up until then, we're going to do some email blasts. You can email acc90704@aol.com and just send us your comments on what you're thankful for, whether it's a sentence or two or a paragraph or something. And what we'll do is we'll have a couple of people volunteering to help read some of those at certain times. So even if you're not able to attend, you can still participate by just getting that information into us at our church office through that email. And I just really look forward to it. So be in prayer about that. Be thinking about that. Start sending those requests in for us, and that will be great. Lastly, Operation Christmas Child is only 2 weeks away when the due date of those boxes are to be in. So Jenny will be doing a more formal announcement the next couple Sundays, obviously, to remind you of that. But be packing. Get those things all together. Start getting those. You can drop them off at the church beforehand if you want. We have a few collecting there. But on the 21st is the collection day that you'll want to bring those in. There is a packing party scheduled for the 17th. That's down in the teen center, the basement there of the church. And it's already decked out with Christmas lights. And I told her she has permission to turn those on for her party. All the rest of the Christmas lights on the building are going to turn on after Thanksgiving, if you're wondering, because you'll see them all up there. But I promise I'll wait for Thanksgiving to turn them on so the anticipation can build. But we are excited about the shoe boxes, and so come and be a part of that packing party. It's going to be a great time. She has some prizes that will be given out during that event that night, so it's going to be a great time together. Well, let's prepare ourselves for some worship together this morning. You guys ready to sing? And for those that want to follow along with lyrics, those QR codes on the tables, you can scan that and sing along with us. Let me grab my guitar here. All right. What a beautiful day, though. Isn't it nice? Just these outside settings. And just so you know, in the future, even though we are moving indoors, we are going to be intentional on at least hopefully one time each month where we're going to come outside and do this, especially on good weather weekends. It's just so good to be out in nature, worshiping along with creation out here, gathering with all the visitors even that walk and cruise by or play golf. So, well, let's worship. Heard a sound coming on the wind, changing hearts and minds, healing brokenness. I feel a generation breaking through despair. I hear a and our song, it will be. Out of the darkness, we will rise and sing. He is faithful, He is glorious, and He is Jesus. Of dawn, giving blind men sight, letting lame men walk. I see a generation with resurrection life. We are a generation filled with the power of Christ. And our song, it will be out of the darkness, we will rise and sing. He is faithful, He is glorious, and He is Jesus. He has paid the highest price.
praise Him with our lives. And proclaim our love for Him. Yeah, He has paid. He has paid the highest price. He has proven His great love for us. We will praise Him. And proclaim our love for Him. Yeah, and proclaim. And proclaim our love for Him. Amen.
Rumors of the Son of Man, stories of a Savior, holiness with human hands, treasure for the traitor. No ear had heard, no eye had seen the image of the Father, until heaven came to live with me. A rescue like no other, for You are worthy. You are worthy of Your name. Yes, You not speak, You made no sound. Die for Your accusers. As Your blood fell to the ground, You redefined my future. On the day when You arose, the darkness for cover, for the King of Kings has claimed His throne now until forever. For the King of Kings, for the King of Kings has claimed His throne now until forever. Jesus, no other name.
Prepare in a moment to take communion together. We are just truly thankful for all that you have done for us. That phrase that you stood in my place and you took all of that for us that we might be with you, one with you. You took all the sin upon yourself. And therefore you have become our ransom and our healer and our redeemer and our saving grace, right? All these things that we have proclaimed here. And so we're so thankful. And there is no other name that's higher than your name, Jesus. And so we give praise and honor to you, and we lift it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John. Thank you, worship team. On the Sunday of each month at the beginning, it's our practice to share communion together. And it's just a corporate way that we remember what Jesus has done for us, where we receive again his forgiveness and his grace through the confession of our sins, and where we just renew our relationship with him. It's just a great time of a new beginning. And I love each new season. I love each new month. I love each new Sunday where we get to start afresh. One of the great things I loved about being in the school here in Avalon for many, many years was there was always a great time of closure and new beginning. Every June when it would come, things would be done. And you'd have to lock everything up and turn in your grades and close the door. And they actually kicked you out of the school of your job for 2 months. And that was just a great sabbatical I got. And then there's that hope that this year wasn't perfect, but next year is going to be perfect. And you'd get to start in a brand new group of students, clean grade books, clean lesson plans, and you'd get that chance to start again. And it was great. There was nothing you could do about the past year. You had a brand new year to start. And in many ways, that's what communion can be for us. It's that time where we close out this past month, where we take that time to reflect before our Father and say, man, these are ways that I've walked with you well and where you've been with me, God. And these are ways where I've chosen to wander from you. And I've chosen to follow back into some bad patterns. And so it's a time for us to remember what Christ has done for us, his grace, that he took our place, that all that is forgiven. And we receive his forgiveness as we confess and acknowledge our failings. And then we just recommit ourselves to our walk with him, that we'll be more close with him, that we'll depend on him. I always used to say to my students, kind of in a joking way, but to give them hope, right now, I think all of you have perfect A's because there's nothing in the grade book to say different. And I'm going to work with you really hard to keep that up. And so let's work together to really get through, pass this class, do well. And I think that's what our Lord Jesus is saying for us now. As we come before him at communion, this is a time where we're somber before him, but it's a time of great celebration. That before him, we are pure, we are clean. We acknowledge our need for him, and we commit ourselves to follow. So as the band begins to play, I just ask that you take your time before the Lord right now and reflect on where your relationship with him is. And this is the time that he is with open arms as that loving Father welcoming us back, and we just renew ourselves before him. Let me just pray. Father, we thank you for your grace to us. We thank you that you paid the highest price. And I ask just now that by your Spirit, you will let us know that you are a good, good Father who loves us. that in Jesus you have forgiven us. And so we celebrate that as we take these elements of the bread and the juice. May we recognize what you have done in thanks and strive by the power of your Spirit to continue to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amazing love that welcomes me, the kindness of mercy that bought with blood wholeheartedly my soul undeserving. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me.
Behold the cross, age to age, and hour by hour, the dead are raised, this sinner saved, the work of your power.
God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. I am blessed. I am called. I am healed, I am whole, I am saved in Jesus' name. Highly favored, anointed, filled with your power for the glory of Jesus' name. I am blessed, I am called, I am healed, I am whole, I am saved in this life brings suffering. Lord, I will remember what Calvary has bought for me, both now and forever.
God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me.
God, you're so good. God, you're so good. Highly favored, anointed, filled with your power for the glory. And I am blessed, I am called, I am healed, I am whole, I am saved in Jesus' name. Highly favored, anointed, filled with your power for the glory of Jesus' name.
God, you're so good. I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I found no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind.
deserve it. Still you gave yourself away. And oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
God's people sin. Amen. All right, well, the kids are dismissed to head back to your area back there for your Sunday school. And we have Reed sharing with us this morning. So thanks, Reed.
Yeah. I'm going to come out into the light a little bit. Feel closed in there. Thank you, John. Yep. All in favor of changing the phrase Jack of all trades to John of all trades. Everyone? All right. Man, IT one day, project manager, construction, and then worship pastor. Thank you. Well, good morning, church. How we doing? My name's Reed, if we haven't met yet. I'm the pinch hitter to the pinch hitter today. So, man, it is great to be here. A beautiful day on Catalina. If it's below 70 degrees, I'm wearing the pea coat. All right, otherwise I would never bring it out, okay? So, a beautiful day. I wonder, maybe show of hands here, who is this, is this your first time in a church or at a church? Anybody? And I kind of suspected that, maybe one. All right. Well, I kind of suspect that a little bit, right? I mean, we've all had some experiences with church, and I know I've had my fair share. I was a pastor's kid, so I was basically born in the church, and it's been part of my whole life. I remember in college, I went to a school here in LA, and there was an opportunity to do this intensive weekend in downtown LA, in and around there. It was just an opportunity to see kind of the all sides, the dark underbelly, right? We went to Skid Row, went to the Fashion District, where there's like sweatshops, and we like hung around there. We went to Rodeo Drive, where it's the complete opposite, right? And Sunset Boulevard, you guys might have been there, all over. And one of the churches, we stayed at one church, which was this massive church in Koreatown, and it had to have been haunted. Like, it was so scary. It was like we slept in the basement, and there was like four stories. It was like this cathedral. It was completely silent the entire time we were there. There's no one there. It was wild. In the middle of Koreatown, one of the most bustling districts. We also went to Sunday service at another church, and I just rediscovered it online. It was this amazing church, this massive church, complete opposite, tons of people. I would have felt like just a fly on the wall, like a nobody if I wasn't the only white guy there. But it was phenomenal. I mean, the energy, the spirit, it was incredible. And just to be there, West Angeles Church of God in Christ. If you're ever around there, look it up, all right? It was so cool to be a part of that and experience that. And then there's other times, right? I remember a time in Key West, Florida. We were there with the whole family. We got kind of a big family. There was like 8 or 9 of us. And we walk in and instantly the church congregation just doubled, okay? It's like one of those. You walk in, and it's like almost like a desperation in their welcome. They're like, oh, you're here. Thank you. Thank you for being here. And then like we like become part of the whole service. And just a whole different experience, right? Maybe you've been there. I remember another time in college. Again, I was spending 4 months essentially in the woods around Yosemite. We were doing this semester abroad, quote, unquote, in Yosemite. An opportunity, just deep intimacy with God and study. And I came out of it for spring break. I went to Orange County with my brother to the OC Fairgrounds, where there was this massive church gathering. Just imagine the most perfect Orange County Instagram families, right? You picture that, and that's all it was. Francis Chan was there. I love him, preaching. And then they did this baptism afterwards. They had these inflatable pools set up, and it was just like boom, 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 and boom, And like that's what it was for like 200 people getting baptized. I was like, whoa, is this church? Like, is this how it's supposed to be? I was just coming from the woods where like it's like 10 of us. We're like deeply intimate in this message and here just baptized. I don't know. You guys been there? You got your own experiences, I'm sure. All right. And man. So today I just wanted to take an opportunity to talk about us and talk about church. And what better time, I guess, to reflect and to peek under the hood a little bit as we transition out of this awesome year and a half of Bird Park Church. I don't know about you guys, I've really enjoyed being out here. It's been an incredible experience to just see the unity, see the things we've accomplished in the midst of a COVID pandemic, right? With so much going on, we're able to meet here together. Very few people have that opportunity. I want to have a little bit of a DTR. Anybody know that phrase? A DTR, is that just me? A define the relationship, right? Relationship defining talk. This is maybe a young thing, okay? This is like you got a boyfriend and girlfriend, and usually the girl initiates it, let's be honest. It's like, we need to talk about us, okay? We need to talk. Can we talk? You know that one? It's terrifying. It's not terrifying. You know, something I've noticed just positioned here where we are in this time in the 21st century and modern Western culture, something I've noticed perhaps, you know, there's very few people who have never had an encounter with church, right? I mean, we show hands. I mean, everyone here has had prior experiences. You know, when folks are driving by or they're playing golf or whatever, they're looking over here and they're probably not thinking like, what's that? Like, what are they talking about? Who is this Jesus? I think probably more likely is that they're bringing up their own experiences with it, right? They're thinking, oh, I remember my time with that kind of stuff. I remember that, right? So where we're positioned here, it can be a real challenge, right? Maybe an opportunity too, and we'll get to that. But in fact, I kind of argue that's the challenge of Western evangelism, to not just go after the unsaved, right? But essentially to bring back, to reunite those who have experienced perhaps a false gospel, maybe a wounding relationship with someone who professed to be a Christian, or simply they just fell off the radar. There's no clean slate, right? There's no easy conversion, whatever that means. There's baggage, and there's history, there's sin. There's a quote that circulated amongst the wild men over the last weeks, best to have not learned the Father at all than to have learned him wrong. Right? I think I got it right. We speak often of this enemy in church, right? We've heard about this. If God is love, joy, peace, goodness, rest, acceptance, community, then this enemy is the antithesis of that, right? He's the destruction, despair. His two favorite tools are the hammer and the wedge, right? And he uses them. Driven between you and your family, you and your physical health and sobriety, you and your employees or boss, and he's persistent, right? He's persistent. And he doesn't always stop at the church doors, right? We know this. We would hope that he would, and often I think we pray very effectively, and he does. But if we know anything about history, we've seen just how effective the enemy can be in devastating the church body. Massive church networks like Mars Hill of Seattle, Washington, completely dismantled. Along with countless others, God in his infinite wisdom. Hi, good morning. Oh, man. God in his infinite wisdom, seeing a picture bigger than perhaps we can see, allows these strategic defeats. Our own history on this island is tragically imperfect, I think, with seasons of great sin and failure. And thank God for his mercy, right? And delivering us from that, leading us graciously forward in forgiveness and restoration. And if the young church in Acts is a model for all of us, you've got the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? You don't add to your numbers daily those who are being saved without taking on some serious cargo. Am I right? So, and Paul writes many times, right? We've all heard it. Paul writes many times of the evils that spring up within the body. Examples including the Church of Corinth, where Paul encourages the leadership to remove offending parties. To paraphrase James, he says, if any among you turn from this message, admonish them. Bring them back. Bring them back to the truth. In Acts, it goes like this. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. Doing life as a community, right? As a body, as this church, Bird Park, can be a wonderfully messy business, right? But we've got the God of the universe on our side. Amen. Louder for the people in the back. We've got the God of the universe on our side, who loves bringing heaven to earth, giving us little tastes of the glory to come, who wrestles with us, right, as he did Jacob. And once he's beaten us to a pulp, sometimes, pulls us up and tenderly restores us like the master craftsman. Right? I've been on this island for about 7 years now. 7 years in December, which is crazy. Still a tourist by some of your standards. That's okay. Okay. I married an islander. All right. I fathered an islander. So hopefully I belong a little bit sometimes. I went to my first quinceañera this week. Speaking of belonging. Okay. I did not belong there. Oh my gosh. It's like, this salsa is spicy. Like, Reed, that's relish, okay? It's relish. But I've been attending ACC for nearly all that time and have increasingly found it to be home. In fact, my passion and heart for this church, this community, is something I've never anticipated. It's grown profoundly. Especially over the last 2 years, we've navigated some major challenges, been in the trenches with other godly leaders coming out of it. On the other side, my heart bursts for this community. Like a guy at the gym ripping his shirt off. You know, he just can't. He's got to rip it off. I've never been to the gym. I hear that's what they do. As a result, the church's pain, the community's pain, is my pain, you know? It's joy and celebration, my joy and celebration. All of this because I've been the recipient of much. I've received much, just as many of you have. I've been the recipient of much grace and provision. I've been pulled out of apathy and doubt, protected from the ill intent of others, and been brought further up and further into the kingdom. So my response then is to turn and long for that in others, and you guys. So as I share today, I pray God's moving over your heart, over your spirit, that he would smooth the message, calm the nerves even, make it palatable and understood. I want to journey with you today and reflect on who we are, on who we could be as a body. As a point of clarification, body, lower C church, capital C church, kind of used intermingling, right? All kind of uniquely different, but kind of the same concept. So we'll clarify that as we go. One of the more well-known contemporary pastors that I've followed, John Piper lays out the biblical minimum and maximum qualifications for a church, for the local church. Minimum qualifications being things like the body of believers. There's got to be people, right? Meeting regularly, led by godly leadership, worshiping, studying scripture, baptizing, etc. These are the basic, by no means simple, right? But the basic fundamentals for a local church. And these we do quite well. But the more fascinating point to me is, what is the maximum that we could be? What could be the maximum qualifications for us? What version of church could we become that would satisfy the entirety of the great commandment and commission? In the StrengthsFinder assessment tool, if you guys ever took that StrengthsFinder, one of my key traits is maximizer. I want to maximize this. How can I get the most out of this? So I think about this often. How can we maximize our effectiveness? And I don't know if you guys have ever seen this poster right here. You're seeing it today. Did you know it's been at the entrance every day that we've been here? And have any of you read it? Maybe, just passing by. You've checked it out. I love this poster. This was created by a group of people, Pastor Andrew and others, several years ago as we just sat down and we wanted to start something. We wanted something new. We wanted to define something here. And this was put together to discuss what's important to us and who we are. How important would you guys rank the role of culture, church culture, right? It might be up there, okay? In my opinion, it's up there. Assuming we've met those obvious basic qualifications, those minimum qualifications, I would say this is everything. This is everything. Our culture answers the fundamental question about who we are and what we value. It answers the question, who do we do church for? Why are we here? Do we do it for ourselves, right? Are you here for just that weekly pat on the back? I did it. I sat through another hour of church. I'm a good person. And then we return to whatever it is we do for the other 167 hours of the week, right? Are we here at a duty? Seems like the right thing to do. My parents did it, so I'm doing it. My wife wants me to be here. Church is the deliberate act of worship and selflessness. Are we not here for others? Are we not doing this for others? Piper goes on to say, when a church forgets that it exists for others and for God, it becomes an ingrown and self-satisfied and can go on for year after year like a social club with a religious veneer. I saw a tweet this week talking about millennials in the church and why it seems that so few millennials go to church anymore. And the tweet says something like, you know, they're not leaving because of postmodernism or becoming too liberal or progressive or conservative or whatever, right? It's not so much political. They leave because the hypocrisy, protection of power, authority at whatever cost, indifference towards suffering and injustice. If we're to avoid this snare, we do look inward. We look inward. We look at who we are. But for the express purpose of looking outward. Like Matthew says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father in heaven. What if our culture on this island were one that caused those on the outside of it to worship God? Let's sink in. Is it not in God's wheelhouse to restore and to make that happen? Do you guys believe it? Do you believe it? Are you ready for it? I think we're all ready for it. What's your favorite one on here? Anybody have a favorite? You can say it. It's okay. I don't mind feedback. All are welcome. I love it. Love. We love. We're family. Taking a couple of these, looking at ones like everyone contributes and everyone belongs. 1 Corinthians 12 goes like this. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. It goes on, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, hear me, family, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem the weaker are indispensable. Amen. Everyone contributes. Everyone belongs. Obviously, now we pursue this with all sensitivity and prayer. You know, we avoid pitfalls of assigning new believers their role as a volunteer. You know, hey, congrats on the baptism. Here's a broom, right? Our value to the body is so much more than how much we donate. It's so much more than how many shade covers we can carry or the projects we can complete in a physical space. God equips the called in that order. Pursue his timing. We pursue his timing and his priorities in all humility, because he's using those indispensable for his kingdom. Right? We are risk takers. This is a big one. This is my personal favorite. Right? We're risk takers. Matthew 4:19, Jesus is talking to Peter and Andrew, some of the first disciples of the 12. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Later on, to James and John, he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father followed. They left their boat and their father and followed him. Later on to Matthew, follow me. And he rose and followed him. I don't know if any of you have seen the Chosen series. We've discussed it before. The men have gone through it. An amazing series. The first series dedicated to the story of Jesus and his disciples. Multi-episode. The Chosen series captures Jesus' calling of the disciples in a really beautifully detailed way. For the first time, we're able to see some of the details, some of the context surrounding these men and their stories. For those of you seen it, you understand the risk involved, the risk for each one of these. Leaving a boat wasn't simply what it might be today, right? Some of you boaters, if God said, leave your boat, you'd be like, yeah, thank you. I'm done with this thing, right? Might be a little different today, okay? This was their livelihood, right? This was everything. If they didn't have their boat, they couldn't fish, they couldn't survive. Others were leaving family and loved ones, not to mention hovering over all this, a crippling fear of the Roman government, who held them in an almost captivity with burdensome taxes and a strict rule of law. Matthew's story was particularly tied to the Romans as a tax collector, right? They show this really intricately in the series. He's hated by his community and tied to the hip to an incredibly powerful regime. And yet, as detailed as he's portrayed, his character is very detail-oriented. He's always taking notes, following along, everything that's going, writing things. his accounting of these callings in Scripture is surprisingly devoid of detail. You don't get a lot of the backstory here. The passages that I just read are not paraphrases. Some of them are quite literally, follow me. And they do it. And that's all that's written. And how does that even work? I mean, Janaea has to call me like 5 times to make dinner, right? So to give up your entire life, your livelihood. And 2 points on this concept of being risk takers. What if the lack of detail is kind of the point? When God calls us, how often is it our response to fill him in on kind of the details of our lives? Like, okay God, I don't think you really understand here, okay? I'm busy, for one. Like, I've got a family. I just put down a mortgage. My job is a lot going on there. As if he doesn't already know, right? As if he doesn't already know these things. His calling on our lives is refreshingly simple. Follow me. Are you in or are you out? Red pill or blue pill? Right? This leads to the second point on this concept of being risk takers. When we say we're risk takers, what are we really risking? Right? Where does the risk really lie? The risk isn't so much in the action of what we do, right? It's really in the inaction. If you follow me here, to place our faith in life and in God's calling feels, as humans, like a risk. I like this one because it expresses our humanity a little bit. It's very much in our nature to feel deeply fear and anxiety in the face of God's calling. But our Heavenly Father knows right where you're at. And his calling is uniquely crafted considering those things. Crafted for each of you, context, everything included. Scripture is clear where our reward lies if we're to follow through. I say it again, is not the risk in our inaction. When we invite our neighbor to church or speak the truth in love, or present ourselves vulnerably to another, it can feel quite risky, right? I don't know what's going to happen after this comes out. Are we still going to be friends? Right? Would we really withhold the gospel, forsake eternity for our own comfort and stability? So we are risk takers in a way. There's an asterisk to this one. But when we're faithful to God's calling on our lives, it takes on a new meaning. One where we understand what's at stake, right? We know where the risk lies, that to turn away from others, to give in to our own self-preservation, to deny God's handiwork and restorative justice, that is the greatest risk. That is the real risk. We speak highly, we love. 1 Peter 2:10, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like a newborn, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow into salvation. James 1:6, this one hits. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart. This person's religion is worthless. Church family, what we're doing here today is, frankly, what we do every day in this community is all for naught if we cannot withhold our judgment, our condemnation against others, if there can't be some buy-in to this, and if I had a Bible, to this. We don't always know why God has placed certain individuals in our lives, in our communities. As we mentioned earlier, some parts of the body can feel to us unnecessary or not belonging, maybe a little kooky. There I go, speaking not highly. Okay. Maybe it's in their behavior, their speech, who they hang out with, where they hang out. We were never meant to take on the role of gatekeeper here. We were never meant to be the bouncer. Don't miss here, we protect the message, obviously. We protect the message against those who mean it harm. We protect the flock against the wolves. Amen. But that's not necessarily what I'm meaning here. You are here for a reason. And for that, you are welcome. Amen. I pray that God will give you the same heart. I pray that God will give me the same heart that he has for you. We are worshipers. We have fun. Right? I love this one. We have fun. Do we have fun sometimes? We have fun sometimes. And we worship. Colossians 3:16, let the message of Christ dwell among you through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in our hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We've already established God chose each one of us for our respective roles in this community. There's no waste. All right? What better way to respond to God's goodness than to worship, to fall on our knees, raise our hands, to live a life infused by a joy and celebration at the great gift that we have received. Something that makes those witnessing say, I want some of that. What are they doing over there? I want to be a part of that. Why can't this body look like that, right? Why can't we look like that? The last one I'll discuss. We are united. Big, bold lettering there. Perhaps for a reason. Psalm 133:1. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. John 17, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. 2 Corinthians 13, strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. This is a big one. And like I said, it's probably bold on there for a reason. I'm so proud of the inroads that we have made in this community over the last year and a half being here at Bird Park. God has used COVID to weave together people and ideas that formerly were divided. The church has used this term countercultural for a long time. You guys have heard this term. You know, we're going to be countercultural. For decades, they've used that, and perhaps it's lost a little bit of the meaning, right? Maybe in some ways, the church has only become the culture, or local churches have only become the culture. But what if we became countercultural in this one way? What could that look like? That despite, or maybe because of, all the division and dysfunction surrounding us, the perpetual bombardment of destruction, all these messages that we're hearing every day, what if we as a church stood against it and stood together? What if we held on to unity with more passion and zeal than we did getting our own way? Now, don't mishear this either. Don't misunderstand. Unity does not mean tolerance. It does not mean sacrifice of the truth. We stand firm in the gospel's message, but we do so humbly and in all wisdom and togetherness. And when there is disagreement, we give it to God together, knowing full well that the enemy would prefer to destroy this great progress we've made. Do not give in to the trap. And all our weird little differences, and some of them not so little, perhaps, we're better together. Let this little island family stick out like a sore thumb in how it prioritizes and exemplifies unity. Amen. I hope you have heard my heart today, the Father's heart today. Please understand there's no condemnation in this, right? There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. In this word, there's no judgment, guilt. We grow, we strive, we struggle, we fail, but in God's grace, we press on. And by no means am I in a position to take a holier-than-thou stance. I have my own deep imperfections, but we all do, right? We're in good company, a company of believers, risk takers, fun lovers, adventurers, you name it. As we close, these words from Paul hit me deep. I share this sentiment with me today, a confession and encouragement for you today, family. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ has made me his own. Amen. I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if any of you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold on, hold true to what we have attained. Amen. Amen. Thank you, family. God bless you.
Reed, thank you so much. That was so great. And so we're super excited about another season here for us. Step indoors, but yet step in. A message I heard, like literally one of the first messages I heard when pandemic started almost 2 years ago. One of the pastors, a friend of mine, said, you know, when we come back, let us not come back the same. Shame on us if we do. No, let's come back, change people. God's been doing stuff in our lives, right? He's been shaping and challenging us, especially in these trying times. And, you know, something I might just comment on, just taking to heart all that maybe has been stirring during this message, that banner there, to become a culture, you had to be participating in that. Otherwise, it really isn't something we know, or it's not even seen because we're not doing those things. So those things, I find, you know, what are the ones that you relate to? Start getting active in those areas. This will become a culture. People will know us for those things, right? Just like they'll know you are disciples by your love one to another. It's the beauty of God in our life is it is seen, it's heard, and the gospel goes out. And so our prayer is that as we move forward in each step as we do, and we do it as the whole body of Christ together on this island. And I love the way he's breaking down walls and barriers and bringing reconciliation amongst us. Those are big deals. Those are big deals. We want to keep trusting God in that process. I love this song. Just asking him to do it again and again and again in our life. He's not going to fail us. He comes through every time. And so let it be a kind of a prayer and a celebration coming out of this service today as we walk into this week. God, move in our midst, right? God, move. Do this awesome thing that you're doing in our life, in other people's lives as well.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. But you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won. For you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me yet. La noche acabará. Tu palabra se cumplirá. Mi corazón te alabará. Cristo mi Salvador, cúmbreme con tu amor. Mi corazón te alabará. Promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. Together, I've seen you move. I've seen you move. You move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. I've seen you move. You move the mountains.
Thank you, Jesus, and we praise you for the work that you're doing in our midst, and that's even across cultures. Just bring in our Hispanic brothers and sisters together with us as well, and to sing in both languages, or just to live out these truths together across this whole community. May your community here in this town experience you through our lives this week, and as we go indoors or outdoors, wherever we go as the body, Lord, that it is welcome to all, right? That they come into this gospel and this truth and find the God we fell in love with and let their lives be changed as well. May others come and find you and the incredible love that you have for them, Father. Make that known through us, we pray. We lift it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you guys. Again, next week, indoors at Avalon Community Church, 9:30, normal time like this. Start time, but come indoors. Bring your masks because that'll be the one difference indoors. But God bless you guys. Have a great weekend. And we'll be streaming as well at those services indoors. So God bless.